Bibles, would you find Luke's Gospel, chapter 17? The interesting is children, they cry often, though they don't want to admit it. And as adults, we cry often and we can't even control it sometimes. So I guess the older we get, the more like children we become. I'm going to keep working on these children to let them know that tears are okay and tears are of God. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11 through verse 17. I'm reading from the New International Version. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "The great prophet has come, appeared before us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout all Judea and the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In 30 years of pastoring, I have never preached on this text. I've been familiar with the story. This story is one of the three times that Jesus brought back to dead, one that was brought back alive, one that was dead. And yet I never have preached on the text. I studied it in Sunday school and probably taught it in a gospel studying of Gospel of Luke, but I've never preached on it. And I'm sorry. I should have. Maybe one of the more powerful pictures of the compassion of Jesus in all of Scripture. Just preceding this passage, Jesus had been in Capernaum. Now, Jesus' appeal was definitely growing. It seemed the more miracles he did, the more people wanted to be around him and more they wanted to hear from him and learn from him. And Capernaum was one of those situations. The centurion sent word that his servant was ill, near death, if Jesus could only heal him. The centurion himself did not appear, nor did the one that was sick. But the messenger said, "The centurion believes," and Jesus went near, and the centurion said, "I believe you can do this, Lord. You can bring about healing. I have all the faith to believe you can do that. I don't even need to be there. You say it, and it'll be done." And Jesus said, "That man, his faith is greater than all people of Israel." And the servant was healed. You can imagine that day, the crowds that were already large, they began to even grow more so. This man speaks the word and healing takes place. They began to share the stories. Remember how he took the bread and the fish and he fed? And just think of the way he teaches in the synagogue. He lets those Pharisees have it. He teaches as one with authority. He teaches as one who really gets it. Oh, the crowds, they just wanted to be with Jesus, to see what he would do, to hear what he would teach, and just to be in his presence. There was something different about this man. Could it be he would be the one who would bring about the new guard, the new authority, the new kingdom? Well, they left Capernaum, and the crowd was large. And it seemed as they went from Capernaum to the town, each town more and more gathered. And it grew and it grew. And they get to Nain. Now, Nain is a small town about 6 miles southeast of Nazareth. Not known for much anything. Only mentioned here in this gospel. and hear this crowd full of joy surrounding Jesus, the miracle worker. What would he do in the community today? The stories just grew. He healed that boy who was sick and he never touched him. He healed him because of the man's faith. What will he do? What will he do? What will he teach? Maybe he will pause. We can sit at his feet. Oh, they came into the town, and as they were coming into the city gates, another crowd was coming out. But it was quite a different crowd. The crowd around Jesus, oh, they were happy and thrilled and loud, and oh, it was exciting. But those coming near, it was a funeral procession. There were probably some mourners, professional mourners and wailers. Tradition has it that even the poorest would have at least two flautists and paid mourners. But it said that it was a large crowd of mourners making their way out of the city into the, beyond the city, to the cemetery. And here these two crowds converge. In East Texas, we still get it. As I make my way from either the funeral home or the church, cemetery, I'm still amazed and honored when cars pull over to the side. When even people step out of their car, even on the highway there in front of all the business district, and gentlemen take off their hats. And I'm always proud to be in East Texas. So I believe that they began, Jesus' crowd began to pull back. They would let them pass by. Was it? The word began to spread. Who was it? What was happening? What was occurring? Oh, the young man has died. The young man has died. The only son. The only son, and the mother is a widow. There's too much death in that sentence. A widow in Jesus' day, that there was nothing for her, except her son, who then would be able to provide for her. But this was a widow who had already lost all and now has lost her son. She will be destitute. It's not a government agency that's going to reach down and walk with her, though the families of that day did care for the widows in some manner. She had lost it all. She had been on this road before. She knew this road to the cemetery outside the gates. Her only son, her husband, her only son. Word comes to Jesus. Now, in this day and time, she would have led the procession. Behind her on the, what they call the bier, that not the casket itself, but high up. We see it often on television and other countries. The shroud would have covered the body, and those carrying the pall bier, the carrying the body, would have the body lifted up, carrying out the city. I picture Jesus and this mother connect eye to eye. Jesus, who sat at the well at Samaria, who visited with a woman and gave her water and told her about living water, and Jesus was not offended by women. Jesus elevated women. We didn't need an International Day of Women for Jesus. He always elevated women everywhere he went. He saw her, and I believe he went to her, and he wrapped his arms around her. Oh, the Pharisees. Oh, Jesus touching a woman. Oh, what about her and what about her background? Jesus didn't care. He cared about people. And he engulfs this woman, wraps his arms around her, hugs her, draws her up close to himself. And I believe his tears matched her tears. His heart was filled with compassion. What did it say? His heart went out to her. Here's the crowd. two crowds meeting in the outskirts, standing back as Jesus goes to this grieving mother. Behind is the pallbearers holding the son. Was it a minute? Was it 30 seconds? Was it 5 minutes? We don't know. Did the crowd just wait? Did anyone talk? Did the wailers keep wailing? Did the flautists keep playing? I wish we knew. But somewhere in the midst of it, Jesus spoke his first words recorded. Don't cry. Weep not. To the mother who had lost the son and her husband in the funeral procession, don't cry. But he didn't offer up words and thoughts and prayers. But he did something. Whether he released her to those near, whether he stood back and said, wait just a second. Somewhere, somehow, he turned from her and made his way to this one up on this bier, this one who was dead. Now, if you're a pallbearer and you're standing there and Jesus is coming near, you're thinking, what now? The crowd who had heard of his miracles, they were wondering, what now? And Jesus walks and touches the casket, touches the bier, the platform. Oh, he can't do that. He will be totally defiled. A Jewish man could not in any way touch that death. But again, Jesus was not one to be held up by the law and legalism. He was one to meet needs. And he touches and he says, young man, I say to you, get up. Now, no one asked Jesus to do this. Luke doesn't say the crowd said, would you bring healing to her? Mary and Martha said about their brother Lazarus, if only you had been here, you could have saved him. It's not like the other story where they said, will you breathe life back? No one asked Jesus. He just did it. Young man, he said, young man, get up. And he did. Now, if you're holding, that's where I want to know more. If you're holding the bier, the casket, and he gets up, I'm letting go. It reminds me of the Ray Stevens song, I Stop Sitting Up With the Dead When the Dead Start Sitting Up Too. Oh, yeah. I'm letting go. I'm not saying let's all four put this down at the same time. I'm just dropping it right there when the boy sits up. And the boy sits up. What did he say? It says he sat up and began to talk. I think he said two things. I think he said, Mom, you'll never believe the dream I was just having. You will never believe. Listen, I've had some fever this week and I've had some dreams. But that boy had really had a dream. I think he said that. Mom, you won't believe the dream I just had. And then I think he said, hey, what's for supper? Because that's all that young men think about is what's for supper. That's the next thing. You'll never believe what I was just dreaming. I dreamed that I died. I dreamed I was dead. But now I'm awake. And what's for supper? And Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Take him by the hand. Say, come on. Connected them. And the crowd was filled with awe. Don't you know it? The crowd was filled with awe and praise God. A great prophet is among us. God has come to help his people, and the news spread throughout that street. And rather than groups going two ways, they all turned and went back into town, glorifying and praising God. Oh, what a story. A story of the miracle worker. A story of one who can say the words and bring the dead back to life. But is there not more? What Luke's the only one that records this story. Matthew, nor Mark, nor John. Why did Luke remember this? Why did it penetrate his mind that he put it in his story? I think the truth for me is twofold. And first is that death hurts. The emotion in these verses is powerful. I don't profess to know all or even little of the Greek New Testament Koine language. Powerful words are used to describe in the Greek this story of Jesus raising the widow's son. Death hurts. Death's just not right. I've told you before, last week when I did Denise's mother's funeral, was my 600th funeral to officiate. I don't say that as a badge of honor. 600 times I've been with families in utter despair. Whether they were a 102-year-old great-grandmother we were burying, God forbid those times of those children. Man, that woman, that child, that aunt, that uncle, 600 times. It's never been commonplace for me. Death hurts. The sorrow that I have endured with these families as they have opened their lives and their hearts to me at times has been unbearable. The tears that I have seen, though children may deny tears, I've seen the tears of many, a spouse, a parent, a child. Death hurts and it brings anxiety and it brings panic. This woman had panic. She would be left with nothing. It wasn't just that she'd be left with nothing. She would have given it all away if she could have had her son back. Death brings fear and it Death may bring anger, and I've seen it. Anger towards God, or anger towards a drunk driver, or anger towards cancer, or anger towards something, and resentment. Most of all, death brings a hole in our life. A void where something was there that was living, that was vital. Even if it was old and not living very much, it was still there. Death takes that away. Death hurts. Roy Caraway asked me 2 weeks ago, "Preacher, you want to be buried or you want to be cremated?" And I said, "Neither. I want to live." I don't want to die. I like life. I like life, East Texas, pine, pollen, and all. I like life. Watching that episode of Seinfeld, great, one of the greatest sitcoms ever. Seinfeld, George and Jerry are talking, and George says, Jerry, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want folks to remember you?" And Jerry says, "I don't want to be remembered. I want to be here. I don't want to be remembered. I want to be here right now." Woody Allen said, "It's not that I'm afraid of dying. It's just I don't want to be there when it happens." Death hurts. My friend Allie is a minister in Waco. She was married less than a year ago, and parents lived in North or South Carolina. Her father was ill at that time. Made it through Christmas. In January, went on hospice. About 3 weeks ago, Allie went to be with her dad during those last moments, and he was lucid and awake. Then he died. This is her first week back to her church, and go, She said all the words, all the things that were taught in seminary, all those scholarly, preacherly, religious quotes and thoughts didn't help a whole lot when you lose your dad. And she put a poem on Facebook yesterday by Patricia Runkle. Poet said, when you meet someone in grief, slip off your needs and set them by the door. Enter barefoot this darkened chapel, hallowed by loss, hallowed by sorrow. You, congregation of one, are here to listen, not to sing. Kneel in the back pew. Make no sound. Let the candles speak. We like words. And in death, we really want to give words. We want to make it right. We want to make it go away. Death hurts and there are no words. And that's why this passage grabs me. Jesus, seeing this woman, didn't say a word, but instead his heart went out to her. More compassion. His heart went out to her. Jesus, God in flesh, who knew what would happen. The same Jesus who stood at Lazarus' tomb and wept, knowing that he was going to resuscitate Lazarus in just a moment, yet he wept because death hurts. His heart went out to her. Death hurts. But then he spoke. Don't cry. With outstretched arms, I believe, with a hug engulfed, with his tears joining her tears, that moment came when he finally spoke and he said words that I think only Jesus can say. Don't cry. Only Jesus. For Jesus can change those tears of sorrow. He can take those tears of sorrow, which are so real and present. He didn't say don't grieve. He said don't cry. No tears. Because he knew. He knew that he could change those tears of sorrow, that they would not be final. Because death for this young man would not be final, that it was not permanent, it would not be lasting. Don't cry, Jesus said, because death was going to lose. Death was going to lose and hope was going to live. Because where Jesus is, there's always going to be hope. And where Jesus is, there's going to be life. Jesus takes that which appears, which is dead, and he makes it alive. He says, get up. And he did. I have to be careful when I look towards the cross that I not preach my Easter sermon. That's what I'm prone to do, because the sermon of Easter will be the same sermon. That is that death loses. Now come back on Easter, I'll add to it. But death loses. The cross and the empty grave says death loses. Jesus told this grieving mother, I hear, I feel, change of tears, sorrow, tears of joy, because death is not the final word. Paul wrote after the resurrection, after the empty grave, Paul said, when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and when this mortal is surrounded with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, Paul said, you stand firm. Let nothing move you. I've never read that verse. I usually stop right there at a funeral. Verse 58, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Death loses. Christ wins. Let nothing move you. John had that vision. We only imagine, but John saw it. That vision of heaven. Revelation 21, and I, John, heard a loud voice from the throne of heaven itself saying, look, God's dwelling place. God's dwelling place is now among all the people. God will dwell with them. They will be his people. God will be with them. God will be their God. Listen. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the old things are passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. No more tears in heaven. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more mourning. That night, after the story, Jesus, the sons of life, the mother and son are united. They all go back into Nain. Luke, why didn't you stick around and tell us about that night in that home? Surely that mother fixed, what do you want? Chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, green beans, no congealed salad. Eat what you want. Don't eat it all. Leftovers are okay. No peas. That night, surely that mother, as the scripture said, the whole crowd said, God visited us today. God has helped us. We just read together that 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Help me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and one day I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has visited us. God visited that woman. God longs to visit us. Death hurts. Death hurts. But thanks be to God, death doesn't win. Because of the cross in the empty grave, death does not win. It hurts right now. Oh, it hurts. But God wins. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness. We're going to sing that. David, come. Great is thy faithfulness. Strength for today. That's what we need. When sorrows come and tears of sorrows fall, we can hear Jesus' words. Listen, those words that say, weep not. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning, because death loses. Great is thy faithfulness. You come back Easter, we'll fill in, we'll finish this sermon. Until then, hang on. Death hurts. Hope wins. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, thank you for this small picture of the compassion of Jesus, who saw a mother who was hurting, who reached out and his heart connected. Thank you, God, that your heart still connects to us. That when difficulties like sorrow come, you're there with us. That even now, today, your heart is connecting with those in this congregation. Some who lost loved ones 20, 30 years ago. Some 2 weeks ago. But death doesn't win. Death doesn't win. Because of the empty grave, we win. We press on. Thank you, God, for that promise. You are so faithful. You are so faithful. We lift our voices and say, great is your faithfulness. In Christ's name.